We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe Low and Dibs. Interesting conversation during the break. If it was on air, we'd all be fired.
Yes.
So we're going to tone it all back just a little bit for you because it's early in the morning and it's Friday and we want to have a good time. Get the audio ready? And to have a good time, Cody, our producer, has put together something of a moment for reflection for the regular season. We are going to take a look back on the 67 victories, the trials and tribulations that this Warriors team has gone through to get to this point before we pose a very tricky question regarding a possible hiccup that could occur in the very near future for this brilliant basketball team.
Draymond, who stumbles, almost traveled, leads Durant with a two-on-one with Clay. Right down Broadway with a right-hand slam, and he got fouled! My goodness, that was savage. Draymond to the front court, to Curry. Curry for three. It's a new NBA record for Steph Curry. He's got 13. The block again, and this time it was by Durant. Curry gets the ball in the front court, takes a three. Got it for about 30 feet. Curry! Clay gets free off the screen. Jumper right side. Good! He's got 60! He's the fourth Warrior ever to get 60 points. Rebound Clay, far wing. Sets his feet. Dribbles by Jordan. Wheels, hand off Draymond. Look out! Right hand slam for Draymond Green. Everybody get out of the way.
Curry behind the back with three with two from midcourt. Good if it goes.
Got it! He hit it! Curry from half court. He Horace now backs down on Klay Thompson, turns the baseline, shoots over him, tough shot, no good. And now Durant is hurt. He and Pachulia collided. Durant trying to run it off, and they collided with his left leg, and he jogs over to the front court. Kevin Durant comes right over front of the Warrior bench holding his knee. I think their knees collided.
I'm always concerned about any injury because you never know how bad it's going to be. So we'll just wait and see and keep our fingers crossed.
A grade 2 injury means that the ligament has been partially torn.
Could be worse, I suppose. Everything, you know, it's funny. I tell myself it could be worse, but then you go down that road of everything could be worse. It's like, no, it's bad the way it is. But then you fall back on, well, it could have been this, and he could have had no chance of coming back, or it could have been something that would have affected him beyond this year.
West in traffic in trouble. Dunked it down. Right-hand slam for David West. He got double-teamed. He got triple-teamed. He said, the heck with this. I'm just going to go up. If you want to meet me at the rim, so
Curry
be it.
Finds Livingston. Lob.
He threw it up and he banked in. It banked in. The lob banked in for Livingston. The bucket's good for Livingston with 3.5 to go. Ridiculous. Jones for three at the buzzers off the rim. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Draymond Green catches up top. Looks and finds Durant. Right wing. Drives out of Jensen to the rack. Over the head dunk as he came baseline right to left. What a way to start, and welcome back, KD.
The Golden State Warriors are the first team in NBA history to win at least 67 games in three consecutive years.
A fine moment, moments indeed. Thank you, Cody. Tremendous work. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 the game. Sure beats the sugar baby conversation we were having in here.
Yeah, I think so.
Does it not?
By a little bit.
Anna, you had never even heard of that term.
I had not heard of that term. No idea.
Neither had I.
Been educated.
Neither had I for anyone listening.
Sugar
had no idea.
No clue.
I thought of the candy. Remember those?
Me too.
Sugar candy.
Me too.
Sugar
baby,
sugar daddies. The dentist always told you to stay away from those.
Sugar daddy.
But a hell of a candy. A hell of a scoring differential, too, for the Warriors this season. In the last segment, we highlighted the fact that Boston, question to you if you want to weigh in on this, are they going to regret the fact that they weren't more aggressive at the trade deadline? At the time, I said stand pat. No need to rush to mortgage your future. I still stand by it. But you get a first-round date with Jimmy Butler, an individual you could have traded for. Not only that, with a scoring differential this season of plus 2.7, that's the lowest for a one seed in the NBA in more than a decade. So there's some vulnerability there, especially with Isaiah Thomas on the defensive end of the floor. For the Warriors, the scoring differential of plus 11.6, outscoring the opposition by an average of 11.6 points per night, is the highest since the 1996 Chicago Bulls. fourth highest in NBA history. Clearly, we've seen it on a regular basis. This team will blow you out, and they will blow you out in a heartbeat. But that leads into a question of concern. Have they not played in enough clutch games with Kevin Durant to be ready for those moments in the playoffs? And what I mean by that is this. A clutch game is defined as a game that's within 5 points either way over the final 5 minutes of a game. So 96, 94, 3 minutes to play, clutch game, clutch minute. 100 to 85 with 5 minutes to play is not clutch. The Warriors played in a league low 25 clutch games this season. Now think about that for a second. 82 regular season games, only 25 of them were within 5 points at any point during the final 5 minutes of the game. That leads to the question that do they not have enough experience with Kevin Durant in those situations? Kevin Durant, who only played 66 clutch minutes of basketball this season with the Warriors. I ask that because most people would say, no, when it matters most, they'll turn it on. Will they? Do you remember what happened on Christmas? Huge lead until about 8 minutes to go. And when it got tight, they couldn't buy a bucket. Do you remember game 7 last year? Final 4 minutes. Couldn't find the rack. Not to say this is cause for panic, but Lo, to not be in this situation, you can't simulate this at practice. So how much of a concern could that be moving forward here?
It would, Joe, I'm going to tell you right now, if a guy by the name of KD didn't show up, it would be a huge concern. Because you're right. Teams can go out and say, look, we're going to keep them on the perimeter. We're not going to let anybody penetrate. We're going to clog up the middle. And we're going to, hey, the last 5 minutes, let's make them beat us from the three. And it's different. It's sort of that that we talked about yesterday. 2 seconds, you got to shoot the shot. It's a clutch situation. That's what happens in those last 5 minutes. Guys get tight. They want to pass up shots. They keep passing the ball and waiting for somebody to make it. And we saw Steph get beat up last year, wouldn't let him penetrate in the last 5 minutes, and they went ice cold. Why do you think the guys, the crew, the team, which is one of the best, most humble team I've ever been around, you think Michael Jordan, Scottie Pittman, and those guys would have got on a plane to go say, go try to go court Larry Bird or go say, hey, Kobe, your young Kobe, come join us or go get a Shaq? No.
Kobe and Jordan together. Get the hell out of here. The world would have imploded.
Think about what you got with Steph and KD, Joe. Think about those two guys. Where they're at in this league, it's think about the scoring. How these guys are, they're pretty. I'm not going to compare them yet because their whole body of work. But what Steph's done, Michael, Kobe, no one could do. As far as the three-point ball, no one can do what he does. So he has his own unique thing that puts him in a space with superstars, with legends. So when you look at this now, that's why I think when you talk about is this team clutch now? Yes, because I think KD provides that. When in doubt, you go to the hole. You go to the rack. You go create. That's what Cleveland can do. When in doubt, big LeBron bodies himself down, gets in the low post. They throw the ball into him, and he goes and goes to work and hopes that three and four guys collapse on him. And then guys don't have to be at the three-point line.
Irving can do it, too. We saw it in the Christmas Day game.
Absolutely.
He got to the rack at the end against Clay, and that was good defense on behalf of Clay.
Clay had outstanding defense. So, but I think now, because of the fact you got a guy like KD, that 5 minutes or that 2 minutes, you throw the ball into KD and say, do what we brought you in here to do, and that's drive and penetrate and kick and do the things we know you can do that's going to get us over the hole. So that's what gives me less concern about that clutch situation, which you brought up.
Dibs, even though Kevin Durant has only played 66 clutch minutes this year, clutch meaning within 5 points and any time during the final 5 minutes, is that going to be a cause for alarm, or his ability to get to the rack, like Lo says, it actually could be a benefit, a big benefit for the
Warriors? I think Lo was very eloquent in that description, and it's because he can create his own shot.
Yeah, I wasn't buying it either.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome, Lo. I got your back this time. This time and this time only. His ability
off
the dribble.
Is this where I cry that people
yes.
are teaming up on
yes.
me?
Yes.
I do hear love. Woe
is me, the victim, Joe Fortenbaugh. Durant off the dribble, Joe. Durant can get to the rack. I think there would be concern over the exact thing you said about the finals last year. Steph got bottled up, and Clay sometimes can go missing in action. But KD is the X factor, especially in the clutch.
All right. So maybe not a lot of concern when it comes to clutch time for the Warriors in the playoffs.
No.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I was writing an article last night previewing the first round and beyond of the NBA postseason. And one of the questions I posed in the beginning was very simple. What is it going to take for the NBA come late June to look back on this postseason and say, that was a success? That was a success for us as a business. Because I believe there is only one avenue, and it concerns me a bit. Warriors-Cavs. I really think that's the only avenue in which this business, this association, can salvage success. Ratings down anywhere from 15 to 20% this season based on who you read. One of the number one storylines that we've dealt with all year has been superstar players taking nights off due to rest, culminating in the 82nd game of the season, which rather than a race to the finish for playoff seeding and an opportunity to play in the postseason for teams like Miami, Indiana, and Chicago, it was a joke of an evening. Guys from Brooklyn are resting, Milwaukee are resting. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. It's gotten to a point where the NBA is sending a message that the only thing that matters is the postseason. But here's the problem. How many teams are in the association? 30. How many make the playoffs? 16. So that gives you 14 teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. Now, of the 30, how many are tanking in any given year? Actively not trying to do anything. 3 to 4, probably. Could we say that?
Yes.
Brooklyn wasn't trying this year. Philly hasn't been trying for years. The Lakers pushed it late. Phoenix, they're tanking. You got teams like the Kings that need to make sure they're in the top 10 to protect their pick, right? So you're going to have 4 or 5 tank jobs every year. You've got 16 teams getting into the postseason. And then you've got teams like Detroit that might not tank, but they're just bad. They're just not good enough to get in. Teams like New Orleans, they're not tanking. They're just bad, right? Where is the drama ever going to come from in the regular season? Can you blame a guy like LeBron James for looking around and saying, this means nothing? I just need to be ready for June. Are we going to reach a point where guys start taking 20-game blocks off? Think about this. If you're James and you can get through the playoffs, the Eastern Conference this year and get to the finals, why wouldn't you just take off all of March next year? Why? Because you're under contract? For what? The only thing that matters is the playoffs, and the league isn't competitive enough to force you into a race down the stretch. We saw it this year. You've got enough teams that tank, enough teams that are the cream of the crop, too many teams making the playoffs, and enough teams that are just bad without tanking. There's really no drama here. The league needs a stellar postseason in order to justify this season.
It would help, certainly. And, you know, we've had years in the past with bad regular seasons and good postseasons, and you never know what you're going to get depending on the matchups. What they could do to ensure that they had more drama would be to go back to 5 games in the first round. With a 5-game series in the first round, you're more likely to have an upset because a bad team or a lesser team can beat the better team 3 times. Beating them 4 times is obviously at least 1 game tougher. I would argue it's harder than that. But for this season, all the NBA can hope for is a lot of game sevens in this first round to create the drama that the regular season was largely lacking.
I think there will be some game seven, especially in the East. I think, Joe, to answer your question, when you talk about can LeBron take that month off and what do you think? Because it's just about getting in the playoffs and people want to watch him play. Maybe there's a situation where guys are 30 and you say, hey, when they get to 30, you give them a certain amount of time off. Because I think the biggest thing is you see the younger players take nights off and then guys start to question and fans starting to question. But do you want to see LeBron play another 2-3 years? Or do you want to see him play, 3-4 years? You want to see him play a year or two? Because if you want to see him play a year or two, then you want to see him play every single night, and that, so be it. If you want to see him play 3-4 years to extend his career, then the league should understand if this is going to be your most marketable guy, and this is the guy that's saving your league, and this is the guy who's protecting your brand, then you got to understand he needs rest because of the fact that he's getting older. So the league has to understand. I know you want guys to play more, in which I think that a lot of the younger guys should, but the league also needs to say, here, let's make this threshold at 30 or 31. So we got to make sure we want these, especially if these guys want to continue to play and they are superstars, we got to understand what's at risk by them playing that amount of time for their whole 82 games.
Here's Jeff Van Gundy on the Lowe podcast, Zach Lowe's podcast at ESPN, on this year's version of the playoffs.
It's already over, right? Like, Golden State is your champion. It won't be close. No one's going to push them, but we have to go through the
playoffs. Really believe that? No one will know San Antonio or Cleveland in the finals? You think it's just over?
It's over. It's over. It was over last year, and somehow then it wasn't over, and I give Cleveland so much credit for being able to do it. But this is a three-year run that's been incredible, and they got better this year. The only thing that could, I think, could make them stumble is another like incident or an injury.
Great news for us. That's Jeff Van Gundy on the Zach Lowe podcast. And by the way, you want to go to game one against the Portland Trail Blazers? Check out Damon Bruce today. He's got two tickets he's giving away. That's Jeff Van Gundy telling you it's already done. Now, this is great news for us. For us, because we're Warrior fans. It's a beautiful thing. But if you're anybody else, are you stoked at all about the NBA playoffs? There's really only one matchup anybody even wants to see. That's it. And Dibs, to your credit, yeah, if we shorten it back to five games in the first round, it could get more interesting. We've seen this before, though. Nobody's taking games off the table. NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB. Games aren't coming off the table. Sadly, not a viable reason because revenue is the main reason there.
Yeah.
So what's it going to take here? Because the more I think about this, look right now at the state of the NBA. You have no reason to be competitive during the regular season. 30 teams total, 16 make the playoffs. Phoenix was tanking this year. The Lakers were tanking this year. Brooklyn was tanking this year. That's three tank jobs. Philadelphia has been tanking for years, and you knew they weren't going to contend, so that's four. Orlando is disgusting. That's five. The Knicks stink. That's six. Sacramento tanked at the end to make sure they could keep that top 10 pick. That's seven. Minnesota was just bad. That's eight. Dallas was just bad. That's nine. New Orleans was just bad. That's 10. Charlotte was bad. Detroit was bad. So you're going to have any given year a handful of teams that are tanking and a group of teams that are just bad teams that would like to contend like Minnesota, but they're just not ready yet. So when you've got that adding up to 10 teams, you've got 20 teams fighting for 16 spots. What's the point? Like, what's the point of the regular season for anybody? That's what's so tricky for the NBA. That's why the NBA needs a huge playoff run, but the only way they can get it is if it's the Warriors and it's the Cavs and it goes seven. Because outside of that, think about this right now. Even if you weren't a Warrior fan, if it's Harden versus John Wall, how interested are you? If it's the Celtics versus the Spurs, how interested are you?
No, we're interested, but the general public probably not as interested.
If it's Houston versus John Wall, I don't care. I won't even talk about it.
I love the NBA, so I'll watch it no matter what, but I'm not the person who's tuning away from these games. If you're down 20% on the ratings, you're probably not losing the diehards as much as you are losing the fringe fan. And the fringe fan certainly wants to see the third matchup between these two superpowers, Warriors and Cavaliers. I think you will see it, but you're right, Joe. As far as the overall general rating, especially if you get into markets like San Antonio or if Toronto happens to emerge, then you've got real problems from a TV rating standpoint.
Like, we're not that far away from having players just take a block of time off. Like, I don't understand why, as you get older, Steph Curry shouldn't just take 3 weeks off in December. What's the point of playing? This team right now, do you really think if they were the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seed in the West, they'd have a problem getting out of the West? A problem where they would be pushed to seven games by anybody. One of the most appealing matchups the NBA can offer you is Oklahoma City-Houston. They're going to air that Sunday night, game one. So you're already going to have kids going back to school on the East Coast who aren't necessarily going to stay up for that. And one of your two front runners for the MVP is going to be eliminated after the first round. What does that leave you with? How compelling does Clippers Jazz sound to you? How compelling are the Hawks, right? Like, is there anyone on the Hawks you're interested in watching? Paul Millsap, last time I heard his name, it was rumored they were going to trade him, right? That's the problem for the NBA right now. This is what they're going to need to work on this season. That's why I am going to have a tough time buying into any officiating that doesn't side with the Warriors or Cleveland, because there's no way the league can allow any other combination of teams to make the finals. I hate being that conspiracy theorist, but just process it. Your ratings are down. Your players won't even step foot on the court if they don't feel like it anymore. They're selling you on this concept of rest. Your product is struggling here. Your product is really struggling.
It's struggling for several reasons. The first reason you realize is when you don't have competition, people tend to shy away. If there's not a competitive edge and guys are able to take off, let's face it, the NBA, you only watch the last, 4 minutes? That's really important? That's really compelling basketball? You can turn off a game and just say, okay, I'm going to watch the last 5 minutes to find out who's going to win, because that's when it starts to get really serious. So until the NBA realize their product needs to be better, until they say, look, we got to make sure, and I don't know if you, because guys need rest, I get that, but I think you got to, you have to make sure that you get these guys, especially in key games where people want to see the talent on the court. Your coaches, the NBA has to do a better job of scheduling, because you see that the ratings are starting to suffer. Yeah, you'll get a finals, if you don't have LeBron, and like you said, in the dubs, then it's not.
The ratings are going to be awful. If it's anybody but LeBron versus Steph for the trilogy, the ratings are going to be terrible for a terrible season. You need to do away with conferences. It just needs to be the 16 best teams, 1 through 16. That's it. That's how you need to do it, because you're not going to be able – we got suggestions on the text line. Take it from 16 teams to 12 teams. Never going to happen. No league is ever going to give up games because of the revenue and the ads. You're never going to do that. Stop. We got to stop talking about shortening baseball seasons, shortening football seasons, shortening college football playoffs, whatever it may be, basketball. No one's going to give up games. That means giving up money. We need a workaround from that. Right now, the only way for the NBA, force the teams that have a shot to be even more competitive. Force LeBron to be in a situation where he might draw the Spurs in round two. That's what you need to do. Cut the conference crap and figure out a way to seed them 1 through 16. You still have your 16 teams. You still have your 7 games per series. But now you're going to force teams to play better. Now you're going to start jockeying for position down the stretch. Because if you're looking at Atlanta in the second round versus Harden in Houston, suddenly things take a whole new meaning to the last week of the season.
You'd have to change the schedule, obviously. You'd have to balance it out so that the Eastern Conference teams and the Western Conference teams would play roughly the same teams. With 30 teams in the league, if you played everybody 3 times, that's an 87-game schedule. So you'd have to find a way to where you'd play some teams 3 times, some teams twice, and make it somewhat balanced. But absolutely, Joe, that would be a great fix, because then you'd have a situation where Cleveland wouldn't be resting their guys knowing they're going to be either the 1 seed or the 2 seed. They might be 5 or 6, and all of a sudden that second round series would be on the road if there was no conferences.
And to your point, it just rotators. Look at college football. Some years you draw Bama and LSU if you're in the SEC East. Some year you avoid both of them. Same thing in the Big Ten. You're in the western side of the equation, or north, south, whatever the hell they call it. You might not have to deal with Ohio State and Michigan the same year. That's a great year. The next year you might get them back to back. Terrible year. Some years the schedule will play out better. Some years it won't. Boo-hoo, you can deal with it, but it will all come back to get you. But this is the only thing I can really see right now as a fix to at least somewhat improve this product down the stretch.
Now, back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Calabro is the television play-by-play voice of the Portland Trailblazers. He is joining us right now on Joe, Low, and Dibs. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kevin Calabro. Kevin, good morning. Let's start with an injury update from the Portland side of the equation. Are we going to get to see the Nurkic sensation in action this weekend?
Well, we will probably know at workout today when the media is allowed to talk to Terry Stotts and the staff beginning at 12:30 this afternoon. Nurkic told reporters in advance of the last regular season game of the year on Wednesday, after he had worked out for nearly a half an hour, he said that he's still waiting for the green light. He said that we would have to wait and see. He's not done any full contact. He says that he is making some progress. So full status will be revealed sometime today. Needless to say, he would have a big impact on this Blazer lineup. He was averaging 15 points, 10 boards, better than 3 assists a game, close to 2 blocks a game. for the Blazers, and his contributions were demonstrable. I mean, they were 14-5 in games that that he started. He was able to play in. He has missed the last seven games, so we're talking about a broken right fibula that was non-displaced. It's been 2 weeks since he was diagnosed with that injury. He did it apparently in a game on May the 28th against Denver when he had 33 points and 15 boards, but he plays two nights later and plays extremely well. He had a double-double in that game and played 32 minutes in that game back on March 30th. So the kid's proven to be very resilient. He's a very eager guy. He wants to play badly. He's 22 years of age, acquired, as you know, at the trade deadline for Mason Plumlee and a first-round pick from Denver, and the Blazer Ball Club has certainly been a different team with him. There's no question about that. It shows in the record post-All-Star.
Kevin, in the boxing world, you have two heavyweights, and they always say the guy has a puncher's chance when he's fighting against a great fighter and he's just overmatched. No, with all due respect, I think a lot of teams in the West and East as well are overmatched against the Dubs. What gives, you know, you guys a chance or that puncher's chance against this team the way that they're playing?
Well, the boxing analogy, I'm not sure fits here because you just need that one punch. In this series, you're playing a team that's won 65 or better the last 3 years. You make a case that they should be the two-time defending champions. Had it not been for some unforeseen circumstances in Game 5 last year against the Cavs. Look, I'm not a Warrior apologist, but they're a great team.
Sure.
It's a seven-game series. Not like back in the day. I was part of the Supersonics. I did the broadcast for the Sonics for 21 years. And I was I lived that. I was a part of that upset back in the mid-90s when the number 8 seed, the Denver Nuggets, beat the Supersonics, a 63-win team. It was number 1 seed at that time. It was a five-game series. Of course, you can flip that and say, well, Golden State in a seven-game series, 1-6 and 0-3 and so forth. But what would it take for the Blazers to shock the world? They would have to have a healthy Jusuf Nurkić. So I think that discussion's still up in the air until we find out what the status of Nurkić is going to be. If you play small against the Warriors, the Blazers' DNA is to shoot threes, so is the Warriors. The Blazers score the heck out of the basketball. As you know, they are 8th in the league in points scored, but the Warriors are number 1, and the Warriors are just a defensive dynamo, ranking number 1 in steals and number 1 in block shots, and they turn you over a great deal, number 1 in turnovers per ball game against the opponent. So, I mean, this is a really uphill battle for the Blazers, no question.
How critical is Allen Crabbe's performance and his ability to score the basketball to maybe be that third complementary piece to Lillard and McCollum, who obviously can score well in the backcourt?
Yeah, well, they're going to need him big time. And, you know, Allen had a sore foot set out the last couple of games and says he's going to be ready for the playoffs. He's coming off a career-high 25 against Minnesota a weekend or so ago, and he had the 8 threes and shot the ball extremely well. He is vitally important for this Blazer ball club. The Blazers, something like 13-3 in games in which he has scored, actually 14-3 this year in games in which he has scored 15 or better. So he's a pretty good barometer. They're going to need him big time coming off that bench, no doubt. You know, the Blazers are going to have to keep turnovers to an absolute minimum. They're going to have to rebound the ball better than they have at any time this year against a pretty good rebounding team, 7th in the league, the Warriors in total rebounds. There's just a fine line of between getting blown out as they did in the first couple of games of the year between these clubs and playing fairly well in the last meeting back on January the 29th in Portland.
Kevin Calabro, the television play-by-play voice of the Portland Trailblazers, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The national media is running with this, and people are trying to turn it into, at least in my opinion, more than it really is. But when Dame Lillard is saying his prediction is Trailblazers in 6, the local media kind of put him to a test where it was Blazers in 6 or Blazers in 7, and he had to say something, right? Like, this is being blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, what would you expect him to say?
Right.
If he says, well, I'm not in the prediction business, we'd move on, I suppose. And maybe that's the directive to players. Hey, no predictions at all. Don't predict any outcomes. Wouldn't this be a blasé world, though, if they did that? So I applaud him. I applaud I applaud the self-confidence, confidence in his club, confidence in the organization. I kind of like it when guys go out on a limb a little bit like that and make predictions and so forth.
Kevin, one story we were following down here is the curious case of Mo Harkless and his quest to shoot a high enough percentage from three-point land so that he was able to get his bonus, which he was able to do. How much traction did that story have in Portland? And is this a cautionary tale for organizations to maybe stay away from these incentive-laden contracts in the future?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to go there in terms of what management's going to do with their contracts. I thought it was highly interesting and instructive, like you say, in the world of sports and incentive clauses and so forth, that for the last three games he'd not shot a three, and you know, he's at 35-1. He needed 35% from three in order to realize a $500,000 bonus, and he was asked before the game if he would shoot any threes, and he winked at the reporter and said, "Would you?" So, you know, there you go. You know, having said that, he played fairly well in the last game of the year. No, he did not shoot any threes, and yes, he stayed down on the block and mostly tried to post his opponent in there. But you know, Mo is vitally important, certainly to the success of the Blazers. He's, you know, one of their top defenders. He's 6'9". He can defend multiple positions, and his ability to shoot threes does open up the floor, but I wouldn't say that it's something that's needed on any nightly basis in order for the Blazers to be successful. Certainly, it's welcome when he's shooting threes; that opens up the floor, but it's not necessarily an indicator of success on the floor.
Television play-by-play voice of the Portland Trail Blazers, Kevin Calabro with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Kevin, we know you're busy. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. We look forward to catching up with you sometime again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we are 2 days away from the start of the 2017 NBA playoffs. I think most of us, it's been a different range of emotion each of the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Like that 2 years ago, that was, I don't know, that's like before you go out to the club. For those who have been to a club, I wouldn't know. But I would imagine that's what it feels like before you go to the club back in the day when you got your going out shirt on. And I mean, it's a night of endless possibilities because you really don't know what's in store. Last year, a little bit of arrogance, I would say, on behalf of the fan base. I certainly looked at it like probably 16-0. Look out, Lakers, who went 16-1. Thank you very much, Allen Iverson. It's probably going to be 16-0. Now, this year, I think it's a little bit more reserved but confident. And the team's playing that way as well, wouldn't you say, Dibs?
Yeah, they're playing with a great poise. And I think the resiliency they showed when KD got hurt and they went on that little mini skid and then they went out and won 14 straight, that impressed me. I didn't think they had that kind of a run in them without KD. And now that he's back and very near 100%, this thing looks like a juggernaut.
Before we start looking ahead, however, it's always nice to take a moment to look back. Take a listen to this.
Draymond, who stumbles, almost traveled, leads Durant with a 2-on-1 with Clay. Right down Broadway with a right-hand slam, and he got fouled. My goodness, that was savage. Draymond to the front court. To Curry. Curry for three. It's a new NBA record for Steph Curry. He's got 13. With a block again. And this time is by Durant. Curry gets the ball in the front court. Takes a three. Got it for about 30 feet. Curry. Clay gets free off the screen. Jumper right side. Good. He's got 60. He's the fourth Warrior ever to get 60 points. Rebound Clay. Far wing. Sets his feet. Dribbled by Jordan. Wheels. Hand off Draymond. Look out. Right hand slam for Draymond Green. Everybody get out of the way.
Curry behind the back with three with two from midcourt. Good if it goes.
Got it. He hit it. Curry from half court. He nailed
Morris
it.
Morris now. Backs down on Klay Thompson. Turns the baseline. Shoots over him. Tough shot. No good. And now Durant is hurt. He and Pachulia collided. Durant trying to run it off. And they collided with his left leg. And he jogs over to the front court. Kevin Durant comes right over in front of the Warrior bench holding his knee. I think their knees collide.
I'm always concerned about any injury because you never know how bad it's going to be. So we'll just wait and see and keep our fingers crossed.
A grade 2 injury means that the ligament has been partially torn.
Could be worse, I suppose. Everything, you know, it's funny. I tell myself it could be worse, but then you go down that road of everything could be worse. It's like, no, it's bad the way it is, but then you fall back on well, it could have been this, and he could have had no chance of coming back, or it could have been something that would have affected him beyond this year.
West in traffic in trouble, dunked it down! Right-hand slam for David West. He got double-teamed, he got triple-teamed, and he said, the heck with this. I just got to go up. If you want to meet me at the rim, so be it. Finds Livingston, lob. He threw it up, and he banked in. It banked in. The lob banked in for Livingston. The bucket's good for Livingston with 3.5 to go. Ridiculous. Jones for three at the buzzers off the rim. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
Draymond Green catches up top. Looks and finds Durant, right wing. Drives out of Jensen to the rack. Over the head dunk as he came baseline right to left. What a way to start, and welcome back, KD.
The Golden State Warriors are the first team in NBA history to win at least 67 games in three consecutive years.
Very nicely done, boys. Joe Lowe Dibs, 95.7 the game. Wide range of emotion there. Wide range of emotion. Hit up a couple things on the text line. From the 925, hey, Dibs, what's that Cuban restaurant called again?
Kanya. I almost did it live.
And
it's a setup.
And because we're always answering your questions, helping out in any way we can. And I love this because it's directed to me instead of Low. 510, Joe, headed to San Diego for a bachelor party in a few weeks. Any suggestions where to check out? Low Neal went to Pro Bowls in San Diego, and the fans are coming to the King. Low, that's got to sting a bit.
It doesn't sting at all.
Oh, it stings.
No, it doesn't.
Just admit it.
No, it doesn't.
What would you recommend, though, for a bachelor party? We're both thinking the same two places.
Yeah, you know, they got to go down to PB. They got to find a spot down there.
Give the one we all know, though, the deck.
Oh, Lahaina's.
Boom. Have a couple cocktails at Lahaina's.
Start off there.
Head down the beach. Go to South Mission. Wave House. Boom.
Nice.
Wave House in your face, Eric Burns. All right. NBA playoff predictions. We haven't done this yet, so let's start with the first round. I'm going to throw out a series to you two suckers. You're going to tell me how you see it playing out. You can be as elaborate as you want. You can be as brief as you want. Give me a winner. Give me an idea of maybe the amount of games, maybe a couple thoughts. Any person in particular would like to start on each series?
I'll go ahead.
You want
to make
first?
It easy, yeah?
All right. We're going to go in order, beginning with the game Saturday. So series number one, number two-seeded Cleveland against number seven-seeded Indiana. Season series, Cleveland 3-1 over the Pacers. Dibs, how do you see it?
I think the Cavs win it in five. LeBron's streak of 17 consecutive games won in that opening round comes to an end. I think the Cavaliers are still the team to beat in the East, but they will lose one to Indiana.
Pacers are 8-2-1 against the spread over their last 11 meetings with the Cavaliers. Low, how do you see this series, Cleveland versus Indiana?
I got the Cavs winning this in six. I think with the rust and the way that they're playing, it's going to take them some time to get it together. I don't believe that this is going to be a quick and easy out. I think it goes six.
Number three-seeded Toronto versus number six-seeded Milwaukee. Game one Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Season series Toronto, 3-1 over Milwaukee, Dibs.
DeRozan and Lowry just too potent as a tandem. Milwaukee outside of the Greek Freak doesn't have enough in this one. I got the Raptors winning in five.
The favorite is 28-1 against the spread over the last 29 meetings between these two franchises. 20 wins, 8 defeats, 1 tie against the spread. The favorite in the last 29 meetings. Low, Raptors, Bucks. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see this one 5-2. Toronto's just too much. It might even only go 4, Joe, but I got Toronto.
Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, the 2-seed out of the West, against Marc Gasol and the 7-seeded Grizzlies. Spurs, a huge favorite, minus 1,000 for the series, Dibs.
Yeah, and I've got the Spurs winning in five. I think the matchup is intriguing in that Memphis can slow it down and they're a good defensive team. Spurs are the best defensive team, but ultimately you're playing right into San Antonio's hands when you slow it down, as Memphis will. Spurs in five.
Season series 2-2, each team winning twice. However, for the spread, Memphis went 4-0 against the number against the Spurs this year. Low, an upset in the works, or do the Spurs advance?
Spurs are going to advance, but it's going to be a physical game. I think San Antonio wins at home in game six, so I'm going to take San Antonio in game six at on the way court.
The fourth-seeded Los Angeles Clippers
against the fifth-seeded Utah Jazz. Game one, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. The Clippers 3-1 straight up against the Jazz this season. Also 3-1 against the spread against the Jazz this season, Dibs.
One of the two best, opening round series. I got the Clippers in seven, Jody. It's going to be Staples Center back home for game seven. Utah missing out on home court advantage in this series is going to ultimately cost them. I think the home team wins all seven. This is one of two opening round series that will go seven.
Low, Chris Paul, one of the great point guards in the game, but for some reason it never switches on come postseason time. Does he get it going enough to get the Clippers past the Jazz here?
Yeah, and I don't see it going seven. I see this one going like six. I really believe that they're going to get rid of him. I think the Clippers want to, they understand what's in front of them, and I think that this is going to be a year that they're going to do something, kind of go a little deep in the playoffs.
Transitioning to the series that begin on Sunday, the fourth-seeded Washington Wizards and John Wall against the fifth-seeded Atlanta Hawks. Washington wins the season series 3-1. The under cashed in 3 of 4 games played between these two teams this year. The Wiz, the Hawks. Dibs.
I think it's a great series, and this is the other one, Joe, that I see going to seven, and as much as I'm tempted to take Atlanta, ultimately that tandem of Bradley Beal and John Wall will prove too much. And of course, the KD knee herder, Marcin Gortat. I got the Wizards in seven.
The under has cashed in 11 of Atlanta's last 15 games. Low. Hawks, Wizards. How you see it?
It's Washington, and it's going to go 6 games.
The Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. Nothing else needs to be said. Daniel.
Get out your brooms, people. Get your brooms ready, and if you want to see this Warrior team in the first round, you're going to have to go to either Game 1 or Game 2, because once this thing goes to Portland and the Rose City, it's not coming home. I got the Warriors in 4, even though Marcus Thompson II said Oakland doesn't go out like that. Dame's going to get one. I leaned his way for a moment, but I'm saying it's a sweep, Joe. Warriors in 4.
Lorenzo Lavon.
Shout out Oakland, California.
Nice, Dibs. So I got, wow. I got Dubs in 5.
Dubs in 5.
Yeah.
Dubs in 5.
Okay. The Boston Celtics, top seed in the East against the Chicago Bulls and Jimmy Butler, a player Boston was trying to trade for at the deadline. Dibs, Boston versus Chicago. Upset brewing?
No, it brews, but it doesn't ultimately fester and develop. It's the Celtics in 6. I like Chicago's ability to stay in the series, but ultimately too much versatility from that Boston offense.
Low.
I'm agreeing. Celtics in 6.
Celtics in 6.
Yeah.
And then the final, Sunday night, the MVP battle. If there's better team basketball to be seen in the playoffs, I don't know where to find it. It's going to be Houston, and it's going to be Oklahoma City. 3-seeded James Harden, 6-seeded Russell Westbrook. Houston takes the series 3-1 during the regular season, 3-1 against the spread. The over-under, a split, 2 games, 2 games. Dibs, who's it going to be?
It's going to be the Rockets in 6. Russell Westbrook's supporting cast is better than people think when you start to look at their bench, and Enes Kanter and Steven Adams, the two big bodies, but Houston and their ability to shoot the 3 and spread out that Thunder defense, I think the Rockets just have too much in their arsenal. They win in 6.
Westbrook wants to be the MVP, Loke. Is he going to make it interesting?
No. I got the Rockets in 5. Rockets in 5.
Will there be 5 triple-doubles for Westbrook, though?
Yeah. Probably more.
Probably.
I think
more.
He went out on a limb and said, in the playoffs, it's got to be different. He needs to do more scoring. So we may see a tempering back on the assisting.
That makes sense.
Interesting, because he didn't want to do that in the Phoenix game because he wasn't shooting very well. Surprise, surprise. All right, so let's go ahead. Eastern Conference participants in the finals, Western Conference participants in the finals. Who? We'll start with the West. Is it Golden State over somebody, Dibs, or do you have a surprise up your sleeve?
No, I've got the Warriors over the Spurs.
Homer.
Yeah, Warriors over the Spurs in 5. I think the way they've got things rolling now, they're just going to be too much for everybody.
Lo Neal, Western Conference. Is it the Warriors over? And if so, who?
Yeah, the Warriors. And it's going to be, we know, it's going to be San Antonio. San Antonio, you got to say what you want.
No love for Harden?
No. No. Just, they don't
or the Clippers? Or the Jazz?
They just don't have the defense.
The Grizz?
The paralysis to go
Russ?
Ahead and hang with them. San Antonio is a team. They play good defense. They can score at times. It's just, they're the best team besides the Dubs. If they were,
okay, so the Dubs, a lot of out on the limb here.
But the
Dubs for Dibs and the Dubs. I'm just kidding. What are you going to do? I'm not taking anybody else. It's the Dubs. Eastern Conference.
But San Antonio would go to the – if the Dubs, you erase the Dubs, San Antonio would probably win the title. There we go.
I'm sorry, that doesn't count. If
it
you take the
matter.
Dubs, you can't throw some other quackadoo prediction out there.
It was.
Eastern Conference, who over who dips?
I've got the Cavaliers over the Wizards.
Chalky.
In six. The more you look at it, and you look at these Eastern Conference competitors, none of them can stand up, in my opinion, to LeBron, Kyrie, and company. When push comes to shove, and it will, I think Cleveland's left standing in the East.
Low daddy.
It's going to be Boston.
Over the Cavs?
Over the Cavs.
Woo!
Cavs do not have the defense. You're going to see they're going to struggle defensively. Teams are going to score. If they're not scoring, they're not winning.
What's cool about that is we'll get to see Brady and Belichick courtside. And if there's anything the Bay Area wants, it's more of Brady and Belichick courtside. So, dibs. Cavs, Warriors, the trilogy. Who emerges victorious?
Dubs in five.
Ooh.
I'm giving the Cavs one just out of the kindness of my heart. But the Warriors are going to run roughshod. And by my count, Joe, the Warriors are going to lose three games. They're going to go 16-3 in the postseason. Of course, no one this year anyway will approach the Lakers' all-time best, which is 15-1. They played best of five that year, so they only were able
Iverson.
To win 15. 15-1.
Acknowledge it, Iverson.
Yeah, 15-1. I won't acknowledge it. 15-1.
Why don't you play some audio? Do you have any Iverson audio back there you could play?
I probably could find some, but came
the
across
probably
some,
no.
Some
as, you
James.
As you digest.
As I digest, Dubs in five. They win their second title in 3 years, and the dynasty is reborn.
Lo, it's the Celtics and the Warriors for you. How's it finish?
I tell you, Celtics going to push them six. The Celtics is a team that plays good defense. They're physical. They're going to bang them around, but just don't have the firepower to keep up with the Dubs.
Joe, Lo, and Dibs, we are back with JT the Brick and a Flash. Don't go anywhere, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.